It was only last week that John was so sure about what was going on, wasn't it? There is one coming after me who is greater than I am, and I am not fit to untie his sandals. Last week. And this week we have John sending messengers to Jesus saying, "Is it you, or should I keep waiting?" So much has changed. Indeed, so much has changed. Last week, after all, John was out in the desert, drawing the attention of the authorities, making everyone around him a little bit nervous, maybe a little bit eager, depending on how they felt about how things were going. He was preaching repentance and change, depending on how they felt about how things were going. People reacted to that. This week, John isn't in the desert. John is in prison. The people who felt a little nervous had more power. And John got rounded up, sent away. And his life doesn't end very well if we look forward in the story. He wants to know. He's heard the rumors. His disciples have come to visit him and have said, they are saying things about this man. They're saying he might be the one you were sent to prepare the way for. And John wants to know if everything he has sacrificed for was worth it, if it's worth being in prison. So he sends his disciples out to Jesus to ask an impertinent question. Is it you? Is it you? Was it worth it? Is it worth me being in prison? John's in a different place this week. Jesus tells his disciples, tell him what you see. The blind are given sight. The deaf are given hearing. The lame are made to walk. And they go back to John. And we leave John alone again for a little while. And then, and this is the part of this story I love, Jesus turns to his own disciples and tells them about John. He says, why did you go out into the desert? For soft and easy things? To be comforted? Because if we remember last week, John wasn't about soft and easy things. He wore camel's hair and ate weird food. He certainly didn't preach soft and easy things. Jesus turns to his disciples and tells them the assurance that he doesn't give as easily to John and his disciples. John was the prophet that he was meant to be, Jesus tells his disciples. He fulfilled the role that was laid out for him. And the rest, well, the rest is, of course, an act of faith. So a transition going on here, bigger than just John stepping out of the center stage and Jesus stepping into it. John's role is one of prophecy. Something big is going to happen. Get ready for it. This is what it could be like. And then Jesus shows up. The something big. The change that is happening. And Jesus' job isn't to foretell what he will do. It's to actually make it happen. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus' job is different. It's not easier. I don't think it's necessarily harder. It's just different. And this is where we get caught in Advent. We get caught in this shift between John and Jesus, between being the prophet saying, big change is coming, and asking if we are prepared for that, and between being the people charged with making it happen. Because the goal of Advent is to remind us that Jesus will come again, just as he has come before, that big events still lie in our future. This is part of the joy of Advent, that Jesus is coming back, just as Jesus came. That we have to remember to be excited and prepared for that. It's part of what makes Christmas fun. To think about looking forward to another morning like that morning. And at the same time, as Christians, as baptized people in this world, our job is to act like Christ and to try and make these things real now. And that's not easy, is it? It's part of why I like the Canticle of the Turning, this rendition of Mary's Magnificat. Sort of gets into your joints and makes you want to move, a way that the older language of the Magnificat has lost on us. Promises that the world is about to change. Promises that those who are hungry will be fed, that those who have power will either use it rightly or will lose that power. It promises that big things are coming, and all of this from a young girl in the middle of nowhere. This is the promise we all step into. The beauty is that Mary is both proclaiming and enacting it. She says yes to this angel who shows up in the middle of nowhere in her tiny village and asks her to do something very, very dangerous that will, we know, quite certainly, change the world. And in an act of complete and utter faith, she has this vision of what all that yes means. If we all practice saying yes with as much faith as she did. It's a bold song, as bold as John is in sending his disciples to Jesus to ask if his life and his imprisonment are worth it, as bold as the life we are called to lead must be, as we are caught between proclaiming the world that is coming and making it happen. This is the joy of Advent. This is the challenge of our lives. Amen.